Stengel sprints onto it, swivels around, casts it high to full forward. Henry takes the mark! He's plucked it from the evening sky. He has 1-1 for the night. Jack Henry for the Cats to lead. Strikes it. Geelong in front again.
What a game, beautifully called by Jordan Kanellis and the AFL Nation team as Josh Jenkins joins us. JJ, a fantastic game. And also, I tell you what, Jack Henry, he's normally a defender. Can you take us through, how did it come about he was a forward on the weekend?
Good afternoon, boys. I was more heavily involved in the VFL game on Sunday, so I can't take you through it blow by blow, but what I do know is that Gary Rowan was ill on the day of the game. He went up to the MCG, but just whether he completed a warm-up or whatever happened, he just wasn't able to go. So there was a lot of a discussion about, because Gary plays that third tall, hybrid, high-pressure aerial role. It's a unique role that he plays. So there was a discussion, Shannon Neal, who we've seen once, who's a big 6 foot sixer, who's athletic and can take a turn in the ruck, or do you go with a small? And I guess the other discussion was, do you spring the element of surprise and use Jack Henry as a forward? And I guess that was the way, well, that is the way they went. And in the end, he kicked a goal early and he kicked the goal late. So it proved to be a bit of a masterstroke, a piece of genius from whoever pulled that rein in the Geelong coaching group.
You weren't consulted?
Not
well,
really.
You work with the big blokes at Geelong.
Yeah, but not in a meaningful way. I had a chat on the phone with one of the coaches on the way up, but it was just a chit chat. Nothing more. There's no, those type of decisions are above my pay grade, Julian.
Hey, JJ, what about the relationship we're seeing and the combination between Cameron and Hawkins? Mm. Has there just been some subtle changes and perhaps the big fella Hawkins going back a little bit, Cameron playing up a little bit higher and spreading things out? Is that an accurate observation and a good one that maybe, you might have had some of the input into that as well?
No, you're trying to give me far too much credit. Hawk does what Hawk does. He just goes where the game needs him. He's that type of forward who understands the game. He's certainly dangerous close to goal, but his work rate and his ability to stay on the move is undersold and underrated. His GPS numbers in terms of his metres per minute, and that's one of the key metrics that they use, high speed running, which is not necessarily his strong suit, but it's more than metres per minute. So he doesn't stop moving. And that wears defenders out. And then when he sees those opportunities, he stays close to goal. Jez's role is probably the one that's evolved just because he's become more familiar with the group and more familiar with how the team plays and what he can give to the team. So we've seen him around the footy a lot more. He's been able to win more of the ball. And I think we've started to see him able to showcase his foot skills because he's been able to get up the ground and be the guy, not even necessarily the direct goal assist, but the hockey assist, if you like, the kick that sets up the assist and the one that sets it all up. So that's what we've seen from him a little bit more. His body is he's able and willing, and he's just got more confidence. He's now got the confidence to say, hey, put me up around the ball. You know, when in your first year in a new club, you kind of just do what you're told and you play within the constraints of the team. But now he's got the confidence to say, I'm pretty good, so let me be pretty good.
So what did we learn out of that game, JJ? I feel like, for me, I walked away going, actually, both these teams are contenders. The quality of that game, the fact that Richmond came back from 6 goals, then Geelong got 3 goals down, all the momentum against them in the last quarter. I walk away, even though Richmond aren't even in the eight, and say, actually, these two teams are right in the mix this year.
Both teams, no doubt, both teams will walk away thinking, when we get the game looking like we want it to look, we're a really strong, powerful unit. Now, Geelong get to walk away with the 4 points, and that shouldn't be undersold either, because the 4 points, if Richmond had won that game, Richmond and Geelong are very, very close on the ladder. I reckon they would have been one game apart. Now it's lengthened. Geelong go to second, Richmond drop out of the eight. So that was a big game in terms of getting a hold of the 4 points. But I think both teams, no doubt both teams, whenever you can come back from such a deficit like Richmond did, you've got to think, well, if we can sustain a little bit more of that, if we can start the game in better fashion, we are absolutely good enough. And Geelong at 10-4, second on the ladder, with the Kangaroos ahead, and then a big game against the D's, they'd no doubt be feeling themselves as well.
Oh, yeah, and their run home is very, very tasty.
Not bad.
It's a lot of games in Geelong. Yep. So, hey, but what do you make of the Tom Stewart situation? That's going to be a big out.
I don't think Josh has seen it yet.
I haven't seen it.
According to his notes, Tom Stewart, I've got nothing to say yet to see the incident.
Oh, I didn't read that. Sorry, JJ.
Well,
let's just assume you know what sort of a player he is, and you know how important he is. Now, that is going to be a big out, because he has been sensational, absolutely sensational.
Let's presume he's unlucky and he has to miss some games.
No. There's at least four, I'd suspect.
Okay, well, let's look at it from a block of games. So he's going to miss a block of footy, right? So Geelong are going to have to find a way to counter that and to keep some intercepting and some defensive and attacking prowess on the game, because whilst he's a defender, he's arguably one of Geelong's most attacking weapons. So, you know, De Koning might have to step up and be a little bit more aggressive in terms of, you know, intercept marking and his ball use. Zach Guthrie, I think his ball use has come along a fair bit as well. Mitch Duncan, we've seen play back there a fair bit. You know, Dangerfield hopefully comes back in the next week or so, and that frees someone else up. Zach Tui can go back and play wing. Isaac Smith can do the same. So it'll have to be a strength in numbers thing, because you know, I think Chris Scott's been on the record saying he thinks Tom Stewart is the best defender in the game. So if that is even close to true,
it's hard to argue.
You've got to try and replace one of the premier intercepting defenders and one of the best rebounding defenders in the game. You're not going to be able to do that with one body. You're certainly not going to pluck someone from the VFL and replace him. So the reality is there'll be a loss. There'll be a hole, and at different stages, they'll fill that void.
Hey, just on that one, I know you haven't seen it, but...
I've seen it.
Oh, you have? Okay, my apologies. Julio said that...
Humor.
Oh, okay. Tell me this. We were talking earlier about the introduction, or looking at... a like for like. So if someone goes down, whether it's a red card, some type of penalty that you can enforce during the game, it may not even be for the entire game if it's not a severe infraction, but it might be that it's just something that you have to say, have a spell for the game. Mm. Are you in favour of that?
I see the merit. I absolutely see the merit. My view would be, if we go back across the past 5 years, would we be looking at four or five incidents?
Oh, max.
That's what I mean. So my fear would be wrongfully sending someone off. That would be my worry about it all. I see the merit, and I see the disadvantage that Richmond had, or the victim team has. I see the disadvantage that's there, but my fear would be, you know, sending someone off that didn't deserve to go off, what sort of precedent, or what does that do to the game as well? So I think it's okay how it is, because if we're seeing teams win games regularly because of it, then I think it's something we need to look at. But sure, this is one game where you can say, probably had a bit of a bearing on the outcome of the game, but there are a lot of other situations where I think you can say there was no outcome of the game affected there. It was just one of those things. It wasn't a good look. They got to bring their sub on. We still played 22 versus 22, and the game was the game.